This is the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. Let's take up the issue of human trafficking. The Federal Homeland Security Department describes it as using force, fraud, or coercion to get labor or commercial sex acts out of other people, forcing young people to be prostitutes, for example. DHS says a variety of issues often keep the victims of trafficking from seeking help, so it is often a hidden crime. Girls who have been trafficked have a refuge in the Rogue Valley. The nonprofit organization Redemption Ridge operates Grace House, a residential treatment facility for girls ages 11 to 17. It's been open for not quite 3 years now. Let's hear more about the work done at Grace House. Kirsten Aragin is the executive director of Redemption Ridge and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Kirsten, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Talk about the birth of Redemption Ridge and what spurred its creation.
Originally Redemption Ridge, there was a conference held up in the northern part of the county about human trafficking, and some of our founding board members attended that, and they couldn't believe what they heard. And they looked at each other and said, we've got to do something to help these kids. And out of that spurred a movement to build a home that would be like an oasis of healing for kids who are young girls who've been trafficked. So we now have a 7-bed facility. It's a beautiful home. And we serve girls between the ages of 11 and 17 who've been either the victim of human trafficking or domestic sex trafficking, or they're extremely high risk. If somebody doesn't do something now, these kids are going to be out on the street and trafficked.
So they may not be actually be trafficked yet. They're just in a situation that might lead to trafficking?
A lot of the kids who come in don't understand what's happened to them, and they may not initially identify as being sexually trafficked. After they have some therapy, they go, hey, wait a minute, this is what happened to me. I didn't know it had a name. So we do take in kids who are kind of labeled as high risk. Usually we find out that they have been trafficked. They just didn't understand what was going on for them.
I've heard that before, including from a woman who had been trafficked in the past, that it's it's a situation where you don't even realize that. It's like, oh, no, that happens to other people. Mm-hmm. Then when the descriptions are placed in, they realize, oh, that's me.
Yep.
So for the people who might think, well, this doesn't happen much in the Rogue Valley, how busy has Grace House been since it opened nearly 3 years ago?
Well, I think that people may have that common perception that there's no trafficking in Medford and Ashland. But the fact is, the second highest city with forced child prostitution is Portland, Oregon, and that is second only to Las Vegas. And why is there such a high number of kids being trafficked in Portland? It's because of the I-5 corridor. And here we are at the end of the I-5 corridor. So we get a lot of trafficking through here. I think in, as I remember some stories and arrests made last year, we had about at least, I would say, 5 or 6 individuals arrested in the Rogue Valley who were trafficking women. So, for us, we're constantly getting referrals on children as young as 10 years old. And a lot of these kids are, they have certainly complex sexual trauma, but they also have been addicted to drugs. Now, I see referrals every day with 10 and 11-year-olds who have been using drugs because the person who's trying to traffic them gets them hooked on drugs, and that keeps the child with the trafficker. So it's not just, it's a drug problem, it's a sex abuse problem, it's a crime, and it's happening right here in the Rogue Valley.
You mentioned referrals. Referrals from whom?
We get referrals from a lot from DHS, Department of Human Services, Child Welfare. We get referrals from all over the state. We get local referrals. We get parents who call in and try to get services for their children. So there's a number of ways that we can get a referral on a child who needs help.
Is there a fairly typical pathway to being trafficked? Is there a usual set of circumstances or disruption in the home environment that leads to people being trafficked?
I think if you watch a lot of Lifetime TV, you think that trafficking is, hey, I'm getting abducted. But truly, that's about 5% of the cases. Most of the cases of victims, they're being recruited into trafficking. And kids don't really understand what's going on because they are being deceived into this. You get high-risk groups, and that would be homeless kids, runaway, kids in foster care. You've got kids who are the children of migrants or refugees, or kids who are suffering from drug addictions, and they're kind of easy marks for traffickers. They don't have a lot going for them, and here comes a gentleman whose actual career and job is obtaining children and using them to sell like a commodity. He's not going to come on and, you know, just abduct children. It's a slower process of saying, hey, your needs aren't being met. Hey, you're really pretty. You need someone to take care of you. I'm the one to do that. I really love you. And the next thing, you know, kids are being groomed. And then a trafficker can use a lot of things against children when they're in that next process of being groomed. And that is, I've got really compromising pictures of you. If you don't do what I say, I'm going to release those to your mom and dad. Maybe they're threatening the family. Maybe they're going to withhold things from them to get kids to comply, to help them. His ultimate goal is to sell these kids to customers who are buying children on the street for sex.
There was something about the way the Department of Homeland Security defines trafficking, the idea of sex as a commercial sex, mm-hmm. I guess is what it said. So basically as a commodity, young people as mm-hmm. sexual commodity. What is a trafficker then? Is the term basically synonymous with pimp?
Yeah, a lot of people use the word pimp. That's correct. A lot of young girls who are in trafficking, however, they don't use the word pimp. They think that's their boyfriend. And you'll see a lot of young girls call them daddy. And that's a clue when you hear that. Hey, call me daddy, because he's the daddy to a lot of other girls, they come to find out, not just their boyfriend. But these guys have several young ladies working for them.
We're talking about trafficking, human trafficking here on the Jefferson Exchange in the context of Redemption Ridge, which is a faith-based organization in Medford that runs the shelter Grace House. Kirsten Arreguin is the executive director and our guest on the program. You can join the conversation. Your questions, comments, welcome. This is not an easy subject to talk about. We get that, but you're welcome to join us in this conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. The house itself, I mean, it looks like it came together relatively easily. Did the community? Yeah, you make the face now, but it seems like a lot of support came out of the woodwork for the concept of Grace House.
Yeah, I tell you, I call Grace House the house that love built, because while there were some very generous donations from foundations. But I would say at least half of the money to build Grace House came from individual donors, people who our smallest donation was $5. Our largest individual donation was $50,000. And it was just so many community members donating to make that house possible. And then you have all of the people who did the work, and so many hours were donated just out of love to make this home happen for these kids, all the construction and the oversight of the project. So it was a great community project, a community effort.
So let me ask again, has it been pretty busy since it opened nearly 3 years ago?
Yes. Some days we could have all the beds full, and some days we'll have a lot of kids graduate from the program, and then we're waiting to take new children in. So it waxes and wanes. We're constantly getting referrals. We do check and make sure the referrals we get are really kids that are in our wheelhouse to help. So we do I don't want to say pick and choose. All children are worthy of help. But we are looking for kids who are really saying, I want treatment now. I'm really serious about getting out of this lifestyle. I need help. So those kids are going to be more successful in the program.
I was about to ask how hard it is for some of them to break away. And it sounds like very hard. So it's the people mm-hmm. who are ready, who are mm-hmm. basically making the recognition for themselves.
Yes.
I want to stop this. These are the people mm-hmm. who end up in Grace House. We talked again about people not even realizing that they have been trafficked. I mean, so how do people who want to come to Grace House find out about you?
I just had a call last week. A young lady was in treatment at one particular residential, and she looked us up on our website and took a look at what we had to offer. We are not a lockdown facility. Up in the northern part of the state, you can get a lockdown treatment center, and that's a great facility. Sometimes when girls have been so abused and so brainwashed that they're so used to being treated in a way where they're, you know, a commodity and bought and sold, they're afraid to leave their trafficker. And a lot of those kids may end up in a more secure facility. We are a home. It's a home-like environment. And when kids are ready to kind of more reintegrate into life, they'll come to Grace House. You can, if you want to check out our website, you can just kind of see it's a home. We have children walk into this place and go, I've never had my own room before. It's so beautiful. You know, I've never been treated like I deserved anything, respect or the, you know, have three meals a day or people care about me. And we do some different kinds of therapy there for kids who are ready for it, and that is getting out in the community. It's a lot of community outings where you learn your value. You know, one of the things our girls do on occasion, many times a year, is we take them to ballroom dancing, and they learn, you know, how to be out in the community. And I hate to say this, but we had one girl say, I didn't know that men and women could dance like this. I thought women were meant to dance on a pole.
Wow. That's a big phrase. It's you mentioned the things that you do to, in terms of treatment, just in terms of the outing. How about counseling, either in group or individual sessions? Mm-hmm. A lot of that?
We have a lot of counseling. kids in our program are doing individual therapy twice a week. We are constantly trying to innovate our therapy techniques. We just recently added EMDR for children. We have a lot of kids with PTSD, a lot of anxiety symptoms. We're always trying to find new modalities of treatment to help them. We also do dialectical behavioral therapy in groups where we're just talking about, you know, building a toolkit to help you calm yourself emotionally and to meet life's challenges. So we also have a great weekly, what we call a wrap group, and that's where people from the community come in and share with the girls maybe their particular struggles in life, but how they've overcome them. They've had the opportunity to just meet a lot of people in the community. They've been to court to talk with judges. They've been to television stations to find out, hey, what are careers out there for me? You know, what can I hope for in my life? So we're constantly bringing in community members to talk with kids, and the kids really enjoy knowing that someone would come and talk with them and care enough about them to share with them about their lives. And it makes a big difference to kids.
Kirsten Arreguin is our guest on The Exchange. She's the executive director of Redemption Ridge, which runs Grace House in Medford. John and Eugene asks, is Grace House similar to Sage House in Portland? In what ways do they differ?
Sage House is up in Portland, and Sage House is a closed facility or a lockdown facility. So they're a good partner with us. I was just talking with them last week, and we're more of a step down from Sage House for kids who are ready to integrate into the community.
More of a halfway house in a sense?
It's not a halfway house. It's a treatment facility, but there's a lot more freedom involved in it.
How long is the treatment? I mean, what's the average length of stay? I mean, is there a prescribed length of stay, and then you sort of vary it depending on how well the person's doing it, or is it, you know, this many weeks?
Ideally, we would love children to stay for a year, and I don't even think that's long enough treatment for them. They didn't get into this problem quickly, and it takes a good deal of treatment to you know, conquer the challenges ahead of them. So a year would be a minimum treatment for us.
What expectations do you have of the residents? What's required of them?
You know, you have to get up every day. You've got to go to school. And when you have been trafficked, chances are you've missed a lot of school. So it's very frustrating for kids to try who should be in maybe the 9th or 10th grade, but they're really doing work along the 5th grade level because of the absence from school. So we've got school, we've got chores that we do. Kids are expected, of course, to go to their therapy and treatment. There's visitation with family, whether that's in person or on the phone. We've got rap groups to go to, outings to go to. There's PE that's got to be done, too. You've got to get up and get moving. Kids go to the gym. And then there's a lot of the other expectation is you participate in some more therapeutic activities like, hey, we go to a ranch every week where the kids get an opportunity to ride horses or just interact with the pigs and the sheep and the goats and things like that. So while there's a lot of work being a kid and growing up, there's also some fun, too, that we have.
It is faith-based. Is there any religious participation expectation?
No, we follow the rules of the state of Oregon. We have a contract with the state. Most of our kids are in foster care. The state does have a mandated spirituality time once a week, so kids are free to choose what they'd like to do. Kids can choose if they want. They can attend church, or they might listen to a podcast, or they might do some reading during that time. It's all up to them.
Well, I was going to ask you about income for Redemption Ridge, and the contract with the state clearly provides some of that.
Provides some of it, not all of it. We do lots of fundraising in order to keep our home open. It's very expensive to house, educate, feed, clothe up to 7 girls at a time.
And you mentioned graduation, which was, I was wondering if that was the term. So once a girl has been at Grace House for a while and you feel like she's achieved the goals you set out for her, she's going to move on. Move on to where?
Mm-hmm. If they're lucky, they've got good family and they'll return to their family. Even if their parent is doing treatment of their own, hopefully they'll be ready to accept their child back. On occasion, we have kids who sadly don't have any place to go. So we try to work with DHS to see if there's a local foster parent for them. That's so tough to try to do treatment and not have someone to go to when you're done.
Yeah. No backup, no backstop behind you and help pick up again. Yeah.
Most of our girls do have a backup plan and we do have a celebration when they graduate. We've had kids who have gotten their high school diploma with us and they've gone on to RCC where they're taking college classes and they're going to be 18 years old and on their own. And we try to help them with that also.
The house is called Grace House. The agency that runs it is Redemption Ridge. It's a nonprofit, faith-based organization in Medford. Kirsten Aragin is the executive director. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. It's a sobering discussion, but good to know that somebody's taking care of people who have been trafficked.
Thank you.
That's it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. We have more coming up. Robert Goodwin returns with the Keenest Observers to talk about culturally specific education, culturally sensitive education, culturally flexible education coming up in hour 2. Please stay tuned.